Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, it's another day. Yes, it's a Wednesday. We did a podcast yesterday because it was bank holiday over here. I don't know if you had one over in America or anywhere else around the world, but we just like to take holidays with the banks because everyone likes a good break. But today I'm joined by Kirsten Osley because obviously we know on a Wednesday, Scott is always foraging into things. I think this week he's looking for figures on the internet. You know, he's not got enough in his background. So, you know, let's add to the collection. But no more talking from me. Osley, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, doing well. How are you?
Good, man. I'm just really confused by the ladder in the background. Are you doing some construction work?
Where am I? Yeah, that is not construction work. That is actually VR work because you've got the ladder for the height, then you've got that box for stabilization, and also the pillows because I had nothing else. But basically, if you have the headset below your eye level, then the tracking just like doesn't work very well. So I've had to have it above me, and I'm 6 foot tall, so it's a pain in the ass trying to get stuff like higher than that. But it works.
As our resident VRsman expert, then just let everyone know that you've got. So I'm going to say for the audio listeners, several ladders in his flat. But I want to say, yes. Kirsten, how are you as well, by the way? How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm not liking the heat, but I'm okay. I'm just, tired after the long weekend. It feels very strange. I'm very confused as to what day it is. So I keep having to remind myself. It is definitely Wednesday, is it? You said it was Wednesday.
Yes, Wednesday. Yes, that was Wednesday. Yesterday. we weren't meant to do a pod yesterday because obviously we missed the Monday, but we were about to record and Scott, Josh and I were like, wait a minute, it's a Tuesday. Oh, well, let's do it. Let's just talk about some random stuff. But today we wanted to answer some of your questions because I think we do one of these like every couple of weeks. Sometimes like it rotates, so like I actually don't know the last time they did one. So very professional of me, but because I was scared to answer the same questions again, we did a call out this morning for just a bunch more questions. And lo and behold, all of you that listen or watch have come in and just paid off with a bunch of cool ones. So I think I'm just going to get in there. That we only had one off topic one though, which was quite sad off. But I might start with the off-topic one first because, you know, I felt energized after leading Scott into talking about Final Fantasy Spirits of Eden and, you know, almost derailing the pod straight away. So quick question. You don't have to answer this. You can just say abstain from, by the way, look forward to your questions being dyslexically read by me because, you know, that's
just
life.
A good job, Ben.
Thanks. First one from Mike Carter. Pants or no pants?
Well, this goes exactly into what I was just talking about. Yes. I currently have, I'm guessing they mean pants as in like trousers, I'm guessing. This is
he's from Liverpool.
Pants or no pants? So, oh.
Yeah, Liverpool. So I think he means underwear.
Oh, like going commando.
Who knows? It's such a weird term, pants. I always never know how to approach pants. So for this one, I think either of you can just do exactly what you want with this.
Well, I think if we're talking about going commando, then I'm definitely more of a pants person. But if we're talking about trousers, as in like right now, should I have trousers on? The answer is 100% no. It is way too hot. And I'm very much wanting to take my trousers off because it is just too warm. But yeah, going commando is not, it's not for me. It's not comfortable and I don't like it.
Osley, you're on ladders quite a lot. So I assume that you don't really wear shorts on them. That could be dangerous.
Yeah, well, the main thing is it depends on the context. Like if it's If you're out about in the shops going around, then obviously you need pants. But if you're just in your own home, you can just do what the bloody hell you want. Like, you know, no pants to pants. It's literally your decision.
And I'm just going to say, since lockdown, no pants for me. Just been wearing practice bottoms or running leggings because, you know, let's keep it easy. There's no point making an effort. Let's just all get into the chill zone. But let's very quickly segue off that before we get something more dangerous. Now, we got a question here from Eloise Turner, who I think I went to university with, strangely enough. What do you make of the new Sims expansion? Now, I've not played The Sims since The Sims on PlayStation 2. I don't know about you, Osley. So this is both for you, Kirsten, who I know plays The Sims, and Osley.
Yeah, I played Sims on PS2 and never returned. So go for it, Kirsten.
I really enjoy The Sims. The Sims for me is one of those things that, like, when there is a good expansion pack or something, you get back in, you're on it, like, all day. Like, I'm just always been one of those people that if I get back into The Sims, I'm not just on it for like an hour, I'm on it for like 24 hours straight. It's ridiculous. However, I've only just come to realize that there is a new expansion pack. It's like an eco pack or something. Personally, it's not one for me. I know that there's some people that play The Sims that they like to make their Sims life as much like their lives as possible. Whereas for me, I kind of go more down the, I want to make my Sims life as much not like my life as it is, because I want to make it more like entertaining and more like crazy. So I just enjoy the packs where it's more like, you know, you get to be an actress, or you get to fly into space, and like the get to work ones, they're more entertaining. But yeah. I mean, the eco one, I completely understand why people like that, because it's all about, you know, being eco-friendly and recycling and all that sort of stuff. But just as an expansion pack, it's just, for me, it's a bit of a mundane kind of boring one.
See, I had no idea of this. So is it a bunch of taking your toilet, collecting stuff at your toilet and putting it in the garden? Is it that extensive, or is it more sort of like eco-friendly clothing and things? I don't know.
I think that, I think if from the looks of this, like, there's always like an expansion. With expansion packs, you always get like clothing, you get like extra furniture, hobbies and activities and stuff like that. From the looks of it, there's a lot more like gardening stuff, which is probably the only thing that appeals to me, because that's quite like cute and fun to do. It's like about recycling. There's like different outfits which look like they're more supposed to be like sustainable, recycled sort of outfits. I actually don't know too much about it. I wasn't aware that I didn't realize it was an expansion pack. I thought it was just going to be they do like these little mini packs. I can't remember what they're called, but that's what I thought it was. I didn't realize it was an entire expansion pack. I don't know how much they've managed to squeeze into that. It seems like a random thing to make an entire expansion pack about, but you've got to give people what they want, I guess. If that's what they're after, give them what they're after.
When I played The Sims, I made James Bond a Moneypenny. So, you know, give me a James Bond expansion pack and I'll be there all day. But apart from that, like, I have literally no expertise in this. But I want to... thanks for the question, Eloise. And I just want to shift from one person's specialist subject to another, because I'm going to have some big Osley energy here now. One from Ben Jenko. What classic game do you think should get the VR treatment? I reckon an old school beat 'em up like Final Fight. What would be interesting is the third person perspective. But what I really want to know is, like, what do you think, Osley, as the VOsman, the master of putting goggles on your face?
The VOs. I did come across this question ages ago, and I thought, like, it was actually a really hard one to like think of or something. But I think like a classic Doom would be really good, like in the same style as Half-Life Alyx. I know I go on about it a lot, but it's honestly the gameplay and the gunplay in that is just phenomenal. But put that into the Doom universe. You've got like the shotgun, you've got demons coming at you. It might have to be like a toned down one, because it will be really hard to go at the same like pace as Doom guy. But as maybe like a wave shooter, or even just a few demons here and there. Maybe you're in a like abandoned space station and you're trying to go through it, and there's still like scraps of demons left over there, and they're trying to like kill you or something like that. But something like that, you know, it'll be really cool. Another one that also came to my mind would be Pac-Man. Not like the stereotypical Pac-Man, you know, chomping pills to beat music. I'm thinking like a horror type of game. So you're Pac-Man, you're stuck in a maze, you cannot see where all the other Clyde and that something. I can't remember their names.
The ghosts. We can just call them the ghosts.
The ghosties.
Pinky, Tinky Winky and Clive. But yeah, imagine that, and they're chasing you in VR, and you have to like peer around the corner to make sure they're not chasing you. Otherwise, you have to run all the way back, all the way down this other corridor. Sort of like an Amnesia style title in VR, really, but in a Tron-esque world where you've got to like munch pills and munch the bigger pill, and then you can capture them. I think it'd be quite interesting, but very, very scary.
See, when you said Doom, I automatically went to Doom 3 in VR. I imagined that would, like, the slower pace, like, sort of survivally horror with, you know, of course you would take the flashlight to your gun like they do these days. But the whole idea of going through that world and creeping around, I mean, horror works really well in VR. But then the Pac-Man thing, I'll be surprised if no one's ever even attempted that or attempted that, you know, royalty-free sort of like, you know, their old version. I would have expected you to say that you would have to hold your arms out and sort of eat the pellet with your two arms the whole way through. That's how you get through.
Yeah.
Pretty good exercise.
Mm. But Kirsten, do you have any games that you would like to see in VR?
Oh, I just think having like, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of talk going around with like Silent Hill and stuff now. And there's a lot of talk with it being like a remake. So I think if they did like a remake of Silent Hill, but as like a VR game, oh, that'd be brilliant. I mean, like playing like the Resident Evil 7, the kitchen one in VR was terrifying. And I can't imagine just how good, like it would just be so good having like a, I mean, any Silent Hill game at this point would be brilliant. But yeah, one in VR would be fantastic. Like I'm all up for that. I love a good scare, you know. That's the whole point of a VR horror game, is to get to that point where you're like, you don't want to actually progress because you're too scared, and I think Silent Hill would work perfectly.
That's cool. Ben Jenko also suggested Mario, and I didn't say that yet because that's going to be my choice. Imagine just taking old school Mario, but I want first person view of level 1-1 and just, you know, just looking down and seeing that little Goomba there just just trying to numb at my toes, like, no, get away.
You'd be in a single block. It would be so narrow. It'd be like that. And then the entire thing will just be sky and ground or whatever it is.
Really easy to render.
Yeah, it would be very easy to render, yeah. But it would be very disorientating, especially when...
Oh, God, yeah.
If you've ever played Minecraft in VR, you'll know how disorientating jumping in VR is. It's absolutely horrible.
I already get disorientated in Minecraft when I fall down a hole into a cavern and I'm screaming as I can hear a skeleton clacking in the background.
Yeah, I get that as well. just falling in games in general just makes my feet go really numb for some reason.
Yeah.
Mm.
Unless it's third person, then I kind of feel a bit more like steady. But thanks for that question, Ben. I want to move on to one from Fernando. And he says, you guys might have answered this before, and I'm pretty sure we have, but not in this collective of people. So I want to know what, Osley and Kirsten, what would your guilty pleasure in games be? Like, what is your guilty pleasure you go to? Like, oh, I just need to play this for a bit.
Ooh. I don't know.
It's RuneScape, obviously. old school RuneScape, that is. Guilty pleasure because everyone hates me talking about it all the time. And it's just a stupid, grindy, boring, pay monthly game. But I just bloody love it.
I mean,
it fills me with nostalgia a lot.
Just go into it. Like, what do you really enjoy about it? This is the big O's cast at the moment. We need to know what the O's knows.
Right. I'll keep it short because I know a lot of people don't like RuneScape. I like it because it's nostalgic. It reminds me of like just exploring this gigantic world. Like, honestly, it's massive, of like endless abilities. Like, you've got about 20 skills or something like that.
Okay.
And there's always something to do in the game. Like, if you've got, for example, I've got maximum hunter skill, which is 99, and you get a really cool cape and a cool animation alongside it as well. But that's only one skill out of 20 or however many they are. There's also quests to do. There's like money making, there's player killing, there's player versus environment where you kill monsters, and everything like that just really appeals to me, especially the grind as well. Like, when you're working your character up so much and you've been playing it for so long, you're just happy with the end result, really. Like, this is my character. I've got so much money on it. I've got like 50 mil and stuff like that, and I've got full Barrow's gear, and I'm just really happy with it, really.
That's good.
And I just want to make it stronger.
I've got more of a recent one in my one, and I'm going to go Gang Beasts because I think it's the most realistic fighting game ever created, because that's how people actually look like when they're fighting on the street or fighting in the field somewhere. Drunkenly, like or like giant toddlers. And recently, getting back into it with a few friends of mine, you've discovered on their level with the two trucks driving, you can reenact the part of Lion King, the Circle of Life, holding Simba up into the sky. But as they get smushed onto the sign and then they get sent to Valhalla, that has happened to me a lot recently. But just thinking about these Play-Doh men just punching each other in this endless battle until basically everyone drops out of the game, you win.
Sounds good.
Kirsten, do you have a guilty pleasure if you can't have one yet?
Yes, I think so. So it's really girly, which is strange because it's just completely like my alter ego from like all the horror stuff. And it's a little Nintendo game called Fashion Boutique. And I got it like years and years and years ago. I got it and I was like obsessed. And it's basically you just play as this little character that you make yourself and you run a fashion boutique and you just dress people up. They come into your store and they go, I want a makeover. And you go, okay. And it's just really fun because like I consider myself, I mean, apart from like right now, I consider myself a fashionable person, and having these people come in and I'm like, girl, you don't know what you're doing. Let me give you a makeover. And it's just so nice when you like do them up and they go and they're wearing the outfit that you've given them. And yeah, they came up with one like a few years ago, which was like a newer one. And I actually like properly lost my mind. I was like, need it. yeah. And I got it for like my birthday and I was so, so happy. But yeah, I might have to go back to that now. I haven't played that in a good year, I think. And it's such a good game that I can just sit there and grind it out. But yeah, it's just completely opposite to what I usually play. I'm normally there like Silent Hill, Resident Evil, zombie, zombie, zombies. And then I'm like, oh, but I'm going to play a bit of Fashion Boutique this weekend, I think. It's like, yeah, just not. It's really, yeah, sorry. That was my girly moment. It's over, guys. I'm sorry. It's done.
No one needs to apologize on here about what they enjoy or what they like. We can all like what we want. I just want to say thanks for the question, Fernando. Go into now, Ethan. Do you expect this will be the final console generation before we go to our, I'm adding words in here, our dark streaming future? So dark, what do you think? I'm going to go with Big O's first. I want to know from you, because as someone who has access to the dark side of Stadia, have you got onto Stadia? Have you had a look?
No, Stadia is absolutely useless, especially for me. Stadia doesn't really appeal to many people right now, because it's like, if you've got the internet to stream 60 frames per second in 4K, then the download speeds are only going to be like less than an hour or even like 2-3 hours for GTA 5. So it's a bit wasteful to spend it on streaming when you can just download it in a few hours, really. But going back to the main point, would this be the final console generation before streaming exists? No, because the infrastructure just isn't there. It's just it's way too slow right now. I think about 90% of the UK especially just doesn't have like anything above like 5 megabytes per second, which is not enough for streaming at all, let alone even to download games. Like if you wanted to download GTA 5, that will take you about a good 2 days, or even Red Dead 2 as well. But it needs to. Stadia came in. It's a good thing to come into the market, but it came in probably about 10, 20 years too early. Even putting their foot down like straight away is way too early, especially with their like subscription stuff that they've got to like set in. Maybe down the line they can, but definitely not the next generation.
Okay, I think it's weird this one because, as you said, like people don't have the infrastructure for the internet. If we lived in this perfect world where men with all their like big corporations with their money didn't like hold everything back, you know, maybe we could just like everyone had the lovely internet. But sometimes, like me, I'm throttled to what I can get here. There's only one option, and I couldn't. If we went to a streaming only future, I would be done. I would have to retire from games and probably go into the woods and find something to do. What about you, Kirsten?
I don't actually know what Stadia is. What is Stadia?
So Stadia is a platform where, so imagine your PS4 library or whatever console you've got, mm-hmm. but you don't need to download it. You can go on the internet and you're like, oh, that game looks good, I want to play that, and you can just load up instantly.
Right.
But it streams from a server miles and miles and miles away.
Yes, this is starting to ring a bell now.
And
yeah,
what you're seeing is basically a video, but
yeah,
we're also inputting buttons to that mm-hmm. server and then straight back to your TV.
Yeah.
And it's very laggy. It can get pixely yeah. at times. I think, I can't remember if it does, but I've heard that Red Dead Redemption 2 doesn't run very well on it because it's graphically inferior to everything out there.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think that the thing is, this has obviously come around from people that are just fed up of obviously having to wait for their stuff to download. But I just think, just have a bit of patience, get it downloaded and know that that experience is going to be relatively flawless, instead of, like you said, having to leave it down to your you know, what you can actually get in your area. I mean, even me yesterday, I was just trying to do an update, I think, for Saints Row, and it took all day, and I have like a relatively quick broadband, but it just took forever. So I can't imagine like having that point where you're like, no, you can only play games from streaming it. That just doesn't sound good to me. I don't see that. Yeah, I can't see that catching on and doing well, to be honest.
Neither can I. And until we get to our dark cyberpunk future, unfortunately.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Another question here. I'm going to keep it serious, like keep the serious, like sort of industry talk going, from Patrick. What do you think could be possible to have another video game crash? Now, ooh, this is one that was pointed from Osley, and I just wanted to like get your perspective straight away because I'm just interested in what you have to say.
Now, the reason why I picked I chose this question was because I don't think it's possible for another video game crash right now for the current generation and also the next one. But I think it's possible for the mobile game market because some of the crap that you see on there is just horrible. You've got like the free games like PUBG and Fortnite and all the other ones, but the majority of the games on there are literally riddled with adverts and mm-hmm. pop-ups and microtransactions and like look at Dungeon Keeper from EA. It just seems like the bar of quality is so low in the mobile game market that people are going to eventually see that and think, oh my God, why would I want to ever try mobile gaming again?
Yeah.
I think there is a possibility for it to crash. I could be talking absolute bollocks, really.
I think you're right, and I think the crash already happened because it was a race to the bottom because pretty much everything's free now. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when I first got my iPhone over 10 years ago and I bought Resident Evil 4 on my iPhone. That was very rudimentary. I didn't control that well, but, you know, I could play Resident Evil 4 wherever I wanted, and it was mm-hmm. that was novel then. Now Resident Evil 4 is in your brain. But I'm just looking at the games I still have on my phone. I mean, I still have, what is it, Fruit Ninja on here, a little game called Super Turbo Action Pig, which I really highly recommend. Action Potato. If any of you have not played Action Potato, I know it's in the iOS store still. It's updated for the most recent iPhone. Get it. Get some action in you. And then, yeah, Doodle Jump. Like, I've not really expanded since these games in a long time. I'm relegated to now, like, chess with friends and rarely that. So, I mean, this is basically a glorified Google/Twitter machine for me now and podcasts. I don't know about you, Kirsten.
Yeah, no, I completely agree that I think that, you know, video games on mobile devices can definitely crash, because I think the whole novelty of having something on your phone was the fact that it was portable. But we just have so many, like, when we've got the Switch now, which is just such a beastie sort of, like, you know, console that you can literally take wherever with, like, with you. I mean, you can get Skyrim on there, and it's a very powerful device, and it's so much more powerful than a mobile phone. So I don't see why people would be spending so much money on something that is got a smaller screen, isn't as hefty, doesn't play as well, doesn't maneuver as well. But yeah, I agree with you though, Benroy, where you say, like, the games I still think could do well are ones where it's like about communicating, like words with friends, you know, ones where it's just like you need a quick pastime. Like, I think one that I still have on my phone that I've had on there for years is Fallout Shelter, because it's just one of the games that when you're like, oh, you know, I'm obviously not nowadays with what the current situation we're in, but, like, you know, waiting for a bus or you're waiting in a doctor's office, you think, just need something to pass the time, load up Fallout Shelter, and it's just a good little quick one that you can play. But having, like, a full-on game, like you said, with Resident Evil 4, I just don't think it works as well. Like, if you know you're going to go somewhere for a long time, like a long car journey, you don't think, oh, I'll download Resident Evil 4 on my phone. You think, I'll take the Switch, I'll take the DS, I'll take something that is actually good at running these games. So yeah, I can't see how, it's just free games. I think free games will be all right, but just, yeah, I don't think that full-on games will be doing well on the phone with what we're capable of now with portable consoles.
Yeah, and just to bring it back to the core of Patrick's question, I don't think games themselves will ever crash. I think we're at a point now where, yes, there is a lot, there is some, the floodgates were open on Steam long ago, and that's just, you can swim in the tripe there forever. Or now PlayStation and even Switch are starting to get some sort of asset flips. I think the term was coined by Jim Sterling, but they're starting to get that sort of level of stuff now. But I even think there, it's just going to be harder to find the good games. And yeah, as we've seen, everything new and innovative went to the Switch after these PS4 and Xbox filled up. They'll find somewhere else. We'll keep moving. I don't think we'll ever have another E.T. in the desert situation.
No, so, no, definitely won't.
No.
Going back to that as well, like, yes, we do have the WWE 2K20. Yes, we have the Anthems, the Fallout 76s on the main, like, on the main consoles and platforms. But
yes, we do have the WWE 2K20.
We do. Right here.
Crap.
But I thought I could hear you rustling around in the background there.
The main thing is that we're kind of not paying for it and fighting back in a way. Like, we're not accepting the low quality like games for 60 quid or however much it is.
Yeah.
And
a nice 50 quid now and then.
Nice 50 quid. And yeah, we just won't stand for it nowadays. It's just like, mobile games is easy to, like, turn down, because it's just like, oh, you're free. Okay, I'll just uninstall it then. But turning down like major AAA games with these low quality titles, it puts a lot of pressure on these major publishers, because they're not making money from it. That's what I'm trying to say anyway.
I mean we've seen the reactions of publishers, like, they're not just leaving these things to burn and die. Like, you know, you couldn't update E.T. back in the day. E.T. was out there and it was done. But with like, say, I'm just going to go to an example of Battlefront 2, which they spent 2 years fixing that, and again with, like, Rainbow Six Siege, where they almost, like, crapped it out but then, like, nursed them back to health. So if anything, we're now seeing games having so much of a longer tail than it's having a impact, and we're getting less, if that's a little of the higher tier stuff anyway, if that makes sense. But I don't think there'll be a crash. I think we'll just have lower level publishers find it hard to get an audience. But from lower class games or anything like that, to another question from 13 Cross, how are you guys liking Streets of Rage 4?
I haven't played it, but it looks incredibly difficult, which is probably one of the reasons why I didn't play it. yeah, it's not for me. I don't like a game that is going to aggravate me, and that's why I didn't play Cuphead for longer than 5 minutes. It's I can't do it. Too much anger.
Well, I have completed Cuphead, and I've been playing Streets of Rage 4. I didn't mean that.
You suck.
I just wanted to put that out there, like, show off. Oh, yeah, I've beaten Cuphead. Whatever. But yeah, Streets of Rage 4, I'm on chapter 7.
You've not beaten it yet?
Stage 7. No, because I've been playing on normal. I haven't touched a Streets of Rage game since it was back on the Mega Drive, and I've totally kind of forgotten what it was about, really. So it's not really
punching people in the street. That was all you need to know.
And rage and garbage bins and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it was all right. Like, starting out, it was so difficult to get around. But as you go along, it does feel really like, I'm not really into my fighting games, so it's kind of hard for me to get into it anyway. But just going along it's kind of nice. Like, it's kind of a meh game at the moment because of how difficult it is. It can be enjoyable, but dying and then restarting the entire stage over and over again is just a bit annoying. I might have to start again on easy, but trying to go through it on normal is a bit of a pain at the moment.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, beat it, mate. Done. I through sheer brute force, I think there were two or three levels in the middle that I know that you're saying, like, you have to start again, and you just get done by the enemies, like, diagonal attacks. Now, someone's going to probably say, oh, I can dodge the diagonal attack. I can't. They're coming at me in a way that I can't get to them, and I just scream and die, and then that was game over several times. And there's a level later on when you can get kicked out of a lift, and you're done. And that's also one that is hard to manage. But then I will say, final boss, one of the more easy final bosses I've ever faced in a game in quite a while. Just crap. Like, there is a spot in that bit where you can stand and be pretty much untouchable. But, you know, beat the game. It's done. It was an hour and 30 minutes, 40 minutes, I think it's, I played it for. Thanks to Game Pass. Thanks to Phil Spencer. Saved me some money there.
Yeah.
I would just say, If you like Streets of Rage before, you'll like this, but be prepared for a bit more of, like, in the middle, a bit more of a rut, a bit more aggravation. But if your money's limited right now, I've told you how quick I beat it. I would, on normal, I would just probably wait until it's lower or get Game Pass. I'm not shitting for them. I'm just saying that's you could put your money into Game Pass there and then don't like that, delete off your hard drive and then try something else.
Oh yeah, one good more thing. Graphically, it looks really nice. You can tell that they've been sitting on it.
Oh, beautiful, yeah.
They've wanted to polish this so much before they release it, and which is why it took a long time to, like, get out into the wild, really. And I think it's kind of, like, paid off for those Streets of Rage fans, and I've only heard positive things from those fans, really.
Yeah. I'm going to move on to now about remasters. Now, I didn't realize that two of these questions I grabbed both basically are about remasters, so I'm going to read them both out now. One from Kat, which is, if you guys had all the money and the power and could bring one game back, a remake or a remaster, what would it be? And then we have another one, which I have now lost, and I'm going to fill the time. Here is the other one from, I'm going to say Cal here. Do you think we'll continue to get the remakes and remasters next gen? So what game would you want to remake if you could just do anything or remaster? And do you think we're going to get a lot more of these in the next gen? Big one there, I know.
For the game that I want to remake or remaster, two games, in fact, because they're really, really good. SSX Tricky and Simpsons Hit and Run, because those are some phenomenal games that need to come back.
Didn't we get the Tricky stuff? Like, I swear that came out when I was in university and I have a Tricky and it didn't hit the ground running at all.
Oh, I played it all the time on the PS2.
There was one that came out, I think just shortly after they did, you know, that Tony Hawk HD remaster back in the early 2010s, which sort of flopped and fell on the floor. But do you think there's still like sort of the world is still ready for a Tricky? Do you think we're still sort of like in that sort of extreme EA big sort of mentality?
That's a good point, actually. Because snowboarding games haven't really made a big, I was going to say splash, but it's not.
Impact.
Hadn't made a good big slice in the at the moment. You just don't really see them. Like, I know there's, I think Session is snowboarding, I think, or is that skateboarding? I can't remember. Session I've heard of, and that hasn't really been out there as well. I think like extreme sports games are just aren't really very popular right now. I can't think of any on the top of my head. I've totally lost it, but I was talking to someone about this a while back, and the reason why Tony Hawk's was such a big thing is because it was such a late 90s, early 2000s thing where you got these massive extreme sports like breaking into like the mainstream, and Tony Hawk himself literally just like did the first 900 in the world, and that was a massive thing back in the day. Like he's pretty much like world famous at that point, which is why like these games have capitalized on that extreme sports genre. But there hasn't really been anything since, really, because that genre has seemed to like kind of died down. Like
because there was a lot of tricks and combo meters, and I feel like that almost slipped into a sort of goat similar area of the world where I look at that and I think that's what my friends and I used to get out of it back in the day, is like trying to combat these destruction sort of things like that. What about you, Kirsten? Do you think there'll be, what do you think about these sports games and anything else? Like, what would you want remastered?
First of all, SSX Tricky was a brilliant game. So I think if that was remastered, I think even just for nostalgia reasons, it would bring in a lot of people, and I think it could do well. But anything new, I just don't really know. Like Osley said, I don't think there's a big sort of market for like winter sort of games, sports games at the moment. But a game that I would absolutely love if I had all the money in the world, obviously there's a Silent Hill remaster, which we're hoping we're going to get something out of this year. But a game that I would love, that I've been waiting years and years and years, and I swear like every year I just check to make sure that there isn't anything, there is no news on it, is a game called No One Lives Forever on the PC. It was a Valve game. And it was brilliant. It was so good. Everything about that game was fantastic. The characters, the gadgets, the story. It's funny. It's clever. And both the first one and the second one are just brilliant. And I think they did do one on the PlayStation 2 at one point. But if they did that remastered on a brand new console, oh my God, I'd be all over that. Obviously, I know it's a Valve game, so it would probably be on the PC, but I'd still be happy with that. Just, I would love to just either have a remaster or even like a No One Lives Forever 3. Just, I want more Kate Archer. She's just such a badass, cool character. It's all set in like the 60s, so it's just really goofy and silly. And yeah, it's brilliant. And I just can't believe that he had two really good games that like reviewed really well, and hardly anyone has even heard of them. And they just kind of vanished off the face of the earth. And it's just such a shame because they're such good games. So, yeah, if I ever won like a huge amount of money, that's what I'd be putting it towards.
Yeah, I mean, you say straight away, you said about the Silent Hill thing, I wouldn't be so confident about it yet. I think we're just going to be crying for the next few years. But the one I would go for would be, hear me out. You'd expect to say, oh, Resident Evil could run a good little bit. Nah, that's gonna happen, whatever. But Kane and Lynch. Ooh. I really like the idea of Kane and Lynch back in the day, and
mostly shaking his head.
I remember when my grandfather bought me that for my birthday, and I love the idea of this like dark, gritty crime sort of like adventures where you're playing two pieces of crap and you're just trying to get through this whole thing, and it's a snowball of events that just come more and more into just like you just got to shoot everyone, and these two people are poked them on pills and everything. But the whole premise of that, like, it spoke to me so well. It's like I really like the atmosphere and like the idea of it, and then it comes out, it causes a ripple GameSpot, it birthed the website Giant Bomb pretty much, but and it fell flat on its face. And then we got a second one, and they tried to be a bit different with like the jittery camera effects, like the as if you're being followed by someone with a camcorder, which I thought ruled as well, and also did in Max Payne 3. But I would love to take the idea of Kane and Lynch, go back to the drawing board, redo it, and tell a story about these two people trying to get out of this life of crime and being pulled into it more and more. But I want to try again because
I love it. And it had a co-op feature as well, didn't it?
Yeah, and the multiplayer mode was you had to do a heist. I don't know if you're aware about this as well, Wesley, but you had to do heists. And once you got in there and grabbed the money, as you were going out, you could murder someone you were playing with and then nick their money and take more money for yourself and then level up. That was a lot of fun too. But for me, something that I think would deserve one more shot, and because we need to just totally remake this from the ground up, Kane Lynch for me. But the obvious one that I would have gone to, which is leading into our next question, Alan Wake and Phantom Philly G. This lovely person on Twitter, I put out a cry for help, just begging someone to ask me about Alan Wake. And so Phantom Philly G says, what would you think of another Alan Wake game? Or do you think Alan Wake should be just another Alan Wake game, team up with Max Payne or team up with Jesse from Control and go from there? Now, from the start, we couldn't have Max Payne because Rockstar fully owned Max Payne now. But I, after almost finishing Alan Wake, I either give me a remake of this, make it look even more beautiful than it is, or once we've had the DLC in Control, give me a tease. Because good old Sam Lake and Remedy, they've bought the rights back for Alan Wake. So give me a tease for maybe something down the line. It doesn't have to be a full Alan Wake game. It could be an Alan Wake and Jesse teaming up in the next game. Or just have that character back in my life. Have the idea of this writer being tortured by his creations once more. And give me just something different, dark and disturbing. And build upon like the light combat and maybe say make it a bit more fluid and a little less so just point shoot. But yes, I very selfish here, but give me another Alan Wake. I don't know if any of you two have an opinion on this, or if you've played Control, Alan Wake, or Max Payne, or you think any of these Remedy universes should come together. Let me know. Just what do you two think?
I think I played a bit of Max Payne, which was brilliant. So that would be like a winner in my eyes anyway. And I tried to play Alan Wake when I was a kid. So like, you know, forgive me here. I played it once when I was a kid. I didn't play much of it. I just didn't get on with it. Because at that point in time, for me, a horror game had to be like, no, it had to be scary and zombies. But as I've grown older and I've like learned more about what Alan Wake is about, I feel like it's one of those games I definitely need to go back and play, and I would actually really enjoy now. I think, yeah, like a crossover between those two would be really good, because it's just, they're so dark. And I think that's properly in now at the moment. It's like a proper hot topic is to have these like remasters of just really dark, gritty games, and just having that on like a HD and a brand new console. It's just works so well, just having that, like, you know, especially when it comes to like the monsters and demons and ghosts and ghouls and all that sort of stuff, seeing that in like its full HD glory, it just brings back like a ton of memories, being like, oh, I thought they were scary before, now they're terrifying. So I agree with you there.
Oz, do you have any closing thoughts on this?
No, haven't played Alan Wake, unfortunately.
I'm just going to say, Ozzy would love a VR Alan Wake, pointing this torch at some ghouls and then making them blow up. I know he'd love that. But
put it in my face.
get it in Ozzy's face. And also tweet Kirsty on Twitter and tell her to do a Let's Play of Alan Wake, because I know she would enjoy that. But that has been the What Culture Game podcast. It's been a Wednesday. Let's all hope Scott's found another figurine to buy, because we all just got paid recently. If you want to hear more from us, you can follow us at WC Gaming on Twitter, or you can follow Kirsten on Twitter at
Kirsten Rhea with two A's.
You can find Ozzy on Twitter when he's not in his VR headset at
Newt N Chill.
And you can follow me at Ben Roy Turner. I like to keep it nice and simple because I didn't have an imagination 10 years ago. Anyway, that has been the What Culture Game podcast. Someone will see you Friday. Probably not me. But until then, no more games.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.